Paul had a deep love for this church at Philippi, and now he's going to take some time to talk about his own trials and suffering that he endures for the sake of the gospel and what we can glean from this. So here in Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 12 is where we'll start and finish in verse 18 this evening. Paul says, you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many other brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of intention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. So tonight we're going to talk about my bonds in Christ. That'll be our title. Let's pray. Lord, give us your presence tonight and your wisdom, and use your word in our lives. Thank you for the privilege to walk through this amazing book and learn and to grow. So we pray you'll be glorified in this service. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. So Paul here talking about the many sufferings that he had gone through in his ministry up to this point. And remember, the book of Philippi was written from prison. You don't sense a despondency, do you? Instead, the number one word is joy and rejoice, a book that was written from prison. And so he's acknowledging here that the bonds and the suffering that he has are God's will. And I'll tell you, that's a big step toward Christian maturity. When we understand that the trials that we go through, when we understand that the attacks, the pain, the whatever it might be, financial troubles, God makes no mistakes. And they're always an opportunity for us to either grow or shrink and get angry and murmur like Israel did. It's up to us. But Paul here said, yes, a lot has happened to me here in verse 12, but it's happened under the furtherance of the gospel. The end result is the gospel's gotten out even more effectively through my suffering. Now, Paul was a very unique individual in many ways, but if you go to Acts 9:16, one of the ways in which he was unique, other than the many other ways, he was the apostle to the Gentiles, he was given a glimpse of heaven, but one of the ways in which he was unique is God called him directly from heaven, with a voice from heaven, and told him in advance that he would be facing a lot of suffering. Now, we don't see that in the scriptures. Most people, you know, if that happened, they would just turn and run, like Jonah, if they knew in advance all that they were going to face. But God told Paul right up front, Acts 9:16, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." So Paul knew up front that his ministry was going to be a ministry of suffering. And it was. If you go to 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 24, Paul recounts here, 2 Corinthians 11 verse 24, he recounts for us much of the suffering that he went through for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, look at verse 24. "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one." Now, they say that oftentimes people died from just one of these, because they lost so much blood and lost so much flesh off their back and so forth. Paul went through it five times, 39 stripes. "Thrice was I beaten with rods." Again, people often died from this, being beaten with rods. "Once I was stoned." Looks like he probably did die from that, and God brought him back to life, but we won't know till we get to heaven. "Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. And journeyings often, perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of mine own countrymen, perils by the heathen, and perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren. Wow. Weariness, painfulness, watchings, hunger, thirst, fastings, cold, nakedness. You think Paul suffered? And yet he's telling us here in Philippians, all these things that have happened to me have happened under the furtherance of the gospel. Remember Joseph? He said a similar thing in Genesis 50, didn't he? When his brothers finally returned and he revealed himself to them and they were all concerned he was going to exact revenge on them. And he said, I know that what you did unto me from your perspective was a bad thing. You know, putting him as dead, selling him into slavery, lying to their father that he was dead. He says, you thought evil against me. He says, but God meant it unto good. You thought that you were doing something evil. You thought you were punishing me for my dreams or whatever. But God had it all laid out. God had it planned. Now here I am basically saving the world from a famine as second in command to Pharaoh. God knew all that in advance. And so Paul here is just saying, he has lived, Romans 8:28, amen? That all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called. And then verse 13 of Philippians 1, he says, so that my bonds in Christ. So you couldn't get any more clear than that, could you? He's in bonds. He's in prison yet again. Paul spent a lot of time in prison. He's saying, my bonds in Christ. In other words, these bonds, yeah, a prisoner put them on me, but essentially they're God's, because God allowed it. And we need to learn to look at our trials this way, that it's from God. Amen. That's what Paul is saying. My bonds in Christ. Jesus didn't personally come down from heaven and put Paul in the stocks, did he? But Paul is saying, my bonds are in Christ. Jesus is in control. There's a similar thing that happened in Acts 5:41 to the apostles, if you want to turn there. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. They were again called before the council in Jerusalem and told not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore. And before they let them go, they gave them a beating. And in Bible days, a beating was for real. And as they're walking out of the building, limping from their beating, they say, Acts 5:41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Thank you, Lord, for the beating. We just got to get a little taste of what you went through for us. Thank you. It's not how we typically respond. But Paul here says, my bonds in Christ. God is in control. In Acts chapter 8, verse 4, the Bible teaches that based on the stoning of Stephen and all of the persecution that arose because of that, a lot of people had to flee Jerusalem. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. It looked like a bad thing. But what was going on is all the people that were getting saved were staying in Jerusalem, becoming part of this amazing new giant church in Jerusalem. Well, God wanted them to go into all the world, didn't he? But they all stayed in Jerusalem. So you know what God did? He brought in persecution to force them to spread around the world and spread the gospel. It says in Acts 8:4, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So the first part of the chapter looks really bad because they've got persecution. You got people being kicked out of the city and kicked out of their homes. But God had it all planned out. He says, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. God wanted the gospel spread, so he had to bring in persecution to force them to spread around the world like he commanded them to. So Paul is saying these bonds, these are from Christ. If you look at back to Philippians 1 where we started, we'll get there next week probably, but down in verse 29, look what Paul said to the Philippians. He said, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. So he's saying to the church of Philippi, it's God's will that you believe in Jesus, of course, but it's also God's will that you suffer. So Paul here is saying, my bonds are in Christ. And then he gives us this little talk here about how some people were preaching for the wrong motives. But we'll get to that. But in verse 14, he says, many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak. He's saying, because they know I'm in prison, because they know I'm constantly being persecuted and arrested and attacked, it gives them boldness to preach more. And Paul's saying, that's a good thing. I might have to go through the pain, but I'm going to heaven. And if I have to go through some pain and more people get to hear about Jesus, it's worth it. That's what he's saying, isn't it? That people are being confident because of my bonds, and it makes them much more bold to speak the word. And he says that's a good thing. That he can be a partaker of Christ's sufferings, we can be a partaker of Christ's sufferings, and the bottom line is the gospel gets out, and that's what God wants. He wants people to hear about Jesus. Even in Acts 4:29, if you want to turn there, the apostles, they actually asked God for this. Acts chapter 4, if you would. They, again, they were threatened here in chapter 4 as well. They were threatened a lot. And in verse 29, and now, Lord, Acts chapter 5, 29, behold their threatenings. Most of us would say, obviously, Lord, this is you directing me to go somewhere else. Right? That's how most of us, well, if people are going to threaten to kill me, obviously it's not God's will for me to preach here. That's how most of us would see it. That's not what they said. They said, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. We acknowledge their threatenings. They're actually threatening to kill us if we keep preaching. What do they pray? Give us more boldness so we can keep preaching. That's the right attitude, isn't it? And that's what Paul is saying. That my suffering is God's will. The gospel spread more because of my sufferings. That's a good thing. If I have to go through some pain, he's saying, it's worth it. And then again, he talks about how God just wants the gospel preached. Some preach of envy, some preach of strife, some preach of goodwill, verse 15, chapter 1. Some preach of contention, some preach of love. God wants the gospel preached. He wants people to hear the good news of Jesus Christ from the Word of God. And he said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. I am here to defend it. Look at verse 7 of chapter 1. He says, even it is meet for me to think this of you all because I have in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Paul says, that's why I'm here. I'm here to suffer and I'm here to defend the gospel, which he did constantly. And then in verse 18, he says, in pretense, truth, Christ is preached, therefore I rejoice. I'm thankful that the gospel is getting out. And, you know, God kept bringing in persecution in that early church to get people to move on, to go other places, get the gospel out. And, of course, Paul himself, with his multiple missionary journeys, getting churches planted wherever he could. And during Paul's lifetime, this is verse 18, he says, Christ is preached, I'm thankful. In Paul's lifetime, if you look in Colossians 1, the Bible says twice in Colossians 1, verses 5 and 6 and 23, that during his lifetime, before he died, that the gospel had made it around the world. Now, the church has since failed. I'm talking the church as a body, as a whole. But in the early days of the church, the apostles did what Jesus told them to do, and the disciples, didn't they? They did literally go into all the world. Because notice Colossians 1:5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you, as it is in all the world. But just to drive it home, look down at verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Wow. Preached to every creature which is under heaven. So there was a time, around AD, whatever, 90 maybe, when the gospel had done what Jesus asked it to do, and that's get into all the world. And Paul said, and for that, I'm thankful. Some people are preaching for wrong motives. Some people are more bold to preach because of my sufferings and my bonds. That's all good. I just want the gospel preached. And he said, and yes, I've gone through a lot of pain and suffering, but I'm going to refer to them as my bonds in Christ. Because he's in control. And at any given time, he could have said, okay, Paul, you don't have to suffer anymore. He could have said, nope, I'm not going to let you go through this. But he let me go through it, and therefore it was his will. He knew what he was doing and why. That's the perspective we all need to have, amen, on our sufferings. That our bonds are in Christ. That it's from God. He has a plan. He knows what he's doing. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Paul's example. Thank you for the attitude he had about his suffering, about his bonds. I pray we'd have that same attitude and acknowledge, Lord, that the sufferings that we go through, the bonds that we face, you designed them, you allowed them, therefore you have something to teach us through them. May we learn it and serve you. Keep striving to get the gospel out. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. We love you so much. In Jesus' name.